Welcome back to episode 38 of Between the Tackles. I am your host with the most, Hogan. Unfortunately, solo dolo yet again. My good buddy Burge, he's unavailable this week, which, you know, we all love and miss him so much. My nemesis, as he self-proclaims, you know, I stranded him on an island somewhere, so we don't have to worry about him. No, per usual, the ever so wonderful work schedule and everything that's going on, you know, gets in the way, as it always does with real life at this point. So hopefully the scheduling works out for the best at some point, where we're back on track with where we need to be. But we'll end up we'll get where we need to be. But for now, I am here to bring you another fun filled episode. Going to be a little shorter than usual, just because, you know, I can only hear myself talk for so long, so hopefully you guys can indulge me as long as you possibly can. but yeah, it's getting to the dog days of summer, as we like to call it around here, because, you know, the nasty and hot weather has just been unbearable lately, and I think it's finally starting to break, which I think we all need at this point, especially yours truly being the chunky monkey that he is. I need the fall weather as soon as possible. I need to be football weather. I need sweatshirts. I need sweatpants. I need relaxing. That is what we need at this point. Summer is for the birds, and you can quote me on that, because I ain't messing around with it no more. Up here in the Northeast, it has just been brutal between the ridiculous heat that has just been unbearable as far as I'm concerned. But then on top of that too, the humidity that we have up here, for, like I said, any of us our Northeast listeners that we got on this show. So hopefully everybody else is doing a lot better than I am, because like I said, I can't stand it anymore. So hopefully the weather breaks. Hopefully we're getting to that cool part where we can start to, you know, settle down, get out of the summer, the worst days, and get back into fall and football season, where that's where we need to be. But anyway, let's move on to a little bit of a news cycle that we got going on since the last time I was in front of the microphone talking about football. Funny enough, right after our last episode dropped, some news came out that a veteran player was changing teams that I hadn't really thought too much about, and that player is Jamal Adams. He just signed on with the Tennessee Titans at the end of last week. End of last week? Yeah, I believe. And honestly, it didn't even move the needle for me whatsoever, because Jamal Adams is just, he had so much potential coming out when he first joined the Jets, and then to see him get traded the way he did to the Seahawks and all the hype and hoopla about him. And yeah, he could hit you like a ton of bricks, but his coverage was so poor a lot of times. So and obviously, you know, if I get clipped here talking about him and it goes viral, I'm sure I'll hear from him, because he loves to have his bouts with reporters on social media. So come at me, Jamal Adams. I mean, I could care less at this point, because you're a washed up bum as far as I'm concerned, and Tennessee's not going to be any better with you. So good luck on your new home there. Tennessee's a trash team anyway. I said it. But really, the big news that everybody's been talking about more so recently is obviously Brandon Ayuk, where he's officially requested the trade, as far as I'm aware. I know there was a lot of talk about it, and obviously a lot of people hoping and praying during the offseason that maybe their team could scoop him up. And I think the 49ers have been steadfast about the fact that they're not going to let him go. They plan to, you know, play him, pay him, do all this. But from what I understand, the reports are showing that contract talks broke down very rapidly with him very recently, and it's not looking good in terms of him be staying a 49er, you know, past the point that he's contractually obligated to be a 49er. That brings up a lot of interesting points for, you know, obviously yours truly as a Pats fan, because the whole fan base is clamoring to go and get a bona fide weapon at the skill position, wide receiver. You know, obviously a lot of the names that fell through in the offseason with your Calvin Ridley's and the people that we've missed out on because of bad draft picks. You know, N'Keal Harry was, you know, a microcosm where you missed out on Debo, DK Metcalf. I mean, there's so many different guys that the Patriots have had the potential to have. So it's like, for me personally, it'd be refreshing to see the Patriots go and grab a Brandon Ayuk, because honestly, I didn't think much of him before. And then when I really started looking into what he brings to the table, I mean, obviously I've seen 49er games and it's like, yeah, he can go off and take over and, you know, be that playmaker you need him to be. But when I looked up his stats going into this podcast, I was kind of surprised to see that A, he's only 26 years old, which is very, very young football wise still, only been in the league 4 years. But then B, all of his stats progressively get better as his playing career goes on, where I look at it where, you know, his first year in 2020, he only played in 12 games and he had, you know, 748 yards, 5 touchdowns. And then, you know, last year he had his most receiving yards with over 1,300. He had 7 touchdowns, which his best year was 8. But like he catches over 70 balls consistently now the last couple of years. And he's doing it with a quarterback that's Brock Purdy. So imagine what he would do with an established elite quarterback or something. You know, it's just obviously we don't have that in New England. I'm by no means saying that is like a Jacoby Brissett or, you know, hopefully Drake May turns into that at some point. But I'm just curious to see that if the trigger were to be pulled for a trade to bring him to New England, how that would pan out, where he's in such a good situation that he's in right now with the 49ers and he wants out so badly. Like, I understand he wants to get paid, but I guess it's just mind-boggling to me that the money is the more important part of what he's looking at right now, as opposed to the chance of winning a championship, where the 49ers are always on the cusp every year. As Burgess, my co-host, always loves to say, they, you know, they're the perennial Super Bowl losers. They get to the Super Bowl now and they lose, which is still crazy to me because they used to be the only team that was undefeated in the Super Bowl for forever. But then they lost, I think, the last 3 times they've gone to the Super Bowl, which is crazy. But yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what happens with Brandon Ayuk going forward. I'll be the first to say that I will welcome him with open arms if he were able to come to the Patriots, but that by no means does that mean that he's going to end up in a New England jersey. I mean, there's plenty of other teams that I'm sure out there would vie for him. You know, teams that are either wide receiver desperate, or, I mean, he would be a great complement to a team that has a established superstar receiver. Like, I've just, obviously for news sake, I believe it was Jordan Addison, the secondary wide receiver over there in Minnesota, who's Justin Jefferson's counterpart. I believe he just got arrested again for a DUI or something stupid that I won't even bring up because it's like not worth going down that hole again. But yeah, like, I mean, is like if Minnesota were to pull that trigger and get an Ayuk to complement with Jefferson, I'd be very curious to see how that works, because the biggest thing that I look at too with wide receiver pairings, depending on where guys either sign or get traded to, you look at the highest paid wide receivers currently, and there's a few tandems that are actually on the top 10 list here, where if you look at like your AJ Brown currently for Philadelphia makes $32 million a year, and then on the same list Devontae Smith is making $25 million a year, and they're on the same team with the Eagles. But then on top of that too, you got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, where Tyreek's making $30 million and Jalen Waddle's making $28.3 million. Again, phenomenal players that deserve the money that they're getting. I'm a little undersold on Devontae Smith personally, but the rest of the guys on the list, I mean, you got Justin Jefferson making a ridiculous amount, $35 million. AJ Brown, second highest pay is Amon-Ra St. Brown, $30 million. Tyreek Hill, $30 million. Devontae Adams, $28 million. Cooper Kupp, all very established receivers. And I do believe that Ayuk deserves to be on this list, because I do believe he's a very underrated receiver. But, you know, that being said, it's still interesting to see that he so badly wants off a team that has a very high chance of playing for a championship, where he could end up going to a team like the Patriots that are in the exact opposite direction, where they are building to hopefully get to a championship. They're miles away still, as far as I'm concerned. So at the end of the day, it doesn't sound like Ayuk's going anywhere. He's going to be a 49er this year, whether he wants to be or not. I mean, the only thing I can see is if he physically holds himself out of games and just refuses to play for him, which would be mind-boggling. But stranger things have happened, so we'll certainly see at this point. But that being said, I'm interested to see where Netflix is going now. I don't know if you guys know where I'm going with this, but obviously they just came out with a new show, the Receiver show that they just dropped. And they have, you know, big name guys that are in that show. This is a, I don't know if it's a sequel or if it's a continuation of the quarterback show that they did the year before that featured Mahomes and Kirk Cousins and Marcus Mariota. But yeah, this one, Receiver, focuses heavily on Justin Jefferson, who's obviously considered one of the if not the best, one of the best receivers in the league currently, with another very good receiver, Devontae Adams, another very good receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown. Apologize, I keep screwing that up. And then the other two that they follow there in the show, Debo Samuel and George Kittle, just a kind of a combined package there. I have a feeling I'll have to check out this show that Netflix is putting out now, because I'll be full transparency. I watched, I want to say, like two or three episodes of the quarterback show from last year. And for me personally, it was very, I don't get into the shows too much if I already either know what happens, which with the quarterbacks and the season, the way everything played out, I knew exactly what happened with Mahomes winning the Super Bowl, Kirk Cousins tearing his Achilles, and then Mariota getting essentially benched and cut, or not cut. He like removed himself from Atlanta last year, whatever that dumb situation was. But on top of that too, it wasn't anybody that I gave a shit about, if that makes sense, because I get Mahomes is the talent in the league right now at the quarterback position, but Kirk Cousins, you guys know, if you've listened before, I'm on record as being like, I don't trust the guy. I don't even call him an established quarterback because he's won one playoff game. But then on top of that too, he disappears in the regular season in primetime games. So he doesn't move the needle for me. Marcus Mariota hasn't moved the needle for me since his rookie year. And even then I saw right away that he was going to be a burnout within the first season. So if you get good quality players to follow, to interact with, to see behind the scenes, I can see it. And then on top of that too, it's more, if the episodes were released during the season, I think that would be more, you know, you could put more into it for me personally watching it, because it's like, if I don't know, or if I'm keeping up with the games and the season and seeing how it's going, where, like I said, where that comes out the year after, where I already know what happens, it takes away some of the magic for me. And I get, you know, you can't produce a show and film and do everything, you know, instantaneously. But like with Hard Knocks, I find those a little more palatable, because it's like you really see behind the closed doors with the guys that are in the camps, and it essentially almost follows it week to week as the preseason goes on, which is why I find those more enjoyable. And, you know, especially if it's a team that I don't care about, which they've never done the Patriots on the Hard Knocks. So it's like, I can watch whatever team, but I'll probably end up watching the Receiver show, because at least they have some big name guys on there. Like obviously Justin Jefferson is world-class talent. Devontae Adams, up till a couple of years ago, the argument could be made that he was one of the best receivers in the league, or the best. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown. I get that name. It just gets me. He's quickly becoming one of the best, especially in, you know, Detroit, you know, following in the footsteps of Megatron over there with one of the best receivers of all time, which, spoiler, I'm going to get to Megatron in a little bit. But yeah, I'll probably check it out, because at least they got the names and the players on there that, you know, and the receivers are always the diva guys that you know they're going to make for good television, where it's probably going to be some good stuff. So Receivers on Netflix. I'll have to check it out. If you guys out there have checked it out and you want to hit us up in the social medias and let us know what your thoughts on that, please let us know. And then speaking of things that are new and exciting and everybody's talking about, is the new college football game is finally going to be out. This week when by the time the recording's done here. The college football game that the 25, I don't know if that's what they're calling it, with, you know, the final return of EA Sports to the college world of football, which I never thought I'd see again, the way that it's been, you know, dormant since, I think it was like NCAA 14 was the last one that came out. For me personally, I think the last one that I truly played the crap out of was the 2008 edition with like Jared Zabrinsky from Boise State on the cover or something. That was back in the heyday of NCAA, where you could make a player, play all 4 years, transfer him to Madden, and just go crazy with that whole situation. But it seems like the whole video game and football world is turned on its head with the return of, they're not calling it NCAA, they're calling it college football, I believe. But either way, it's going to be fascinating to see. And I've already had a couple buddies that have like the early access where they played some of the games and the dynasty mode that they do, where, you know, their whole recruitment now, and then the where you create a player and you have to deal with social media and all that stuff. So it's going to be, I'm kind of torn, because a big part of me loved the old style games where you, like, especially I remember like the old Maddens for like PlayStation 2, where you had to answer questions that determined your, you know, awareness or intelligence for your stats or whatever, or you could sign on to movies and answer questions, whether it's like, you know, your teammates like you or whatever. It just goofy stuff, but it made it more, I don't want to say realistic, but it at least made it like interesting, you know? But I'm very curious to see how the whole social media aspect will play. And I'm sure people slide into your DMs or whatever it is at this point. I'm too old to worry about that crap, but I'm going to be, you know, I'm sure I'll be boot up the game right away and be like, what the hell is this? But I'm looking forward to it. And especially if they're, I believe they said that if you play through the game with a create a character that you can make for yourself, I believe you can get yourself drafted into Madden. So maybe this will be my big grand return to Madden, because I have not bought a new Madden game in over 6-7 years at this point. Like I said, I'm on record as I refuse to buy the roster update that Madden has become. But on top of that, too, the Madden gameplay has just tragically gone to crap as far as I'm concerned the last 10 plus years anyway. But we will we'll see what happens in the video game aspect of things. But the real meat and potatoes that I wanted to get to in this episode, that I'm curious to see out there if you guys all have an opinion on this, because this is a very opinionated subject that I'm going to broach right now with ESPN. The last, I want to say that either yesterday or the last few days, has been blowing up my phone, where they've decided to rank the top 100 athletes of the 2000s era, if that makes sense. Any athlete from 2000 on, they are ranking them in a top 100 list. And today, I believe they announced their top 20. I think they did 120 through number one. And of course, I was getting a few updates here and there, because I do specifically get football news updates on my phone as opposed to all sports, unless it's like, you know, crazy big stuff. And I've been noticing some names that have been popping up on the list that I sat there and I was kind of confused about, because I wasn't sure what their rankings meant when they were talking about top 100 athletes. Are they talking about their accomplishments? Are they talking about their actual athleticism? Because the argument can be made a thousand different ways between different players, different sports, different positions. I mean, it's just, it's an impossible question to ask in reality, but the Brainiacs and ESPN found a way to do it, where they put together a list. And what I'm going to do, first and foremost, I'm going to read off there were 10 NFL players total on the top 100 list. And full disclosure, I read the kind of the requirements that you, how to get on this list is any accomplishments that the individual, the athlete, whatever, did from the year 2000 and on. And again, like I said, I was like, okay, well, it's a very broad curriculum you're putting out there, where it's like, okay, if it's just what they did well after 2000, like, how could there be anybody better than Brady, who won 7 championships, you know, between 2000 to when he retired? But then it's like, I started looking at the list and it's like, they had the Olympians on there. They had, you know, all sorts of different athletes from, you know, soccer and baseball and tennis and all that. And it's like, okay, so they're very curious to see what that list turned out to be. And of course, I'm sitting there going ESPN. I'm like, it's probably LeBron at number one, which made me want to puke all over myself, because ugh, enough of him. Okay. However, he did not make number one LeBron was not number one. I believe he was number four, if I'm not mistaken. Brady ended up being five, which baffled me. But they actually, I want to go on record as saying that ESPN got number one correct with Michael Phelps, because goddamn, name a better athlete in history, pretty much, where the guy won 8 gold medals and then was like 23 overall or something crazy. I was looking at it beforehand before the podcast, but just, yeah, if there's a guy who deserved it. And then Serena Williams, and I think was number two, number three, I want to say was Messi, Lionel Messi, if I'm not mistaken. And then four was LeBron, five was Brady. And then the list gets convoluted from there, but they had Tiger Woods. They had a bunch of other athletes, but like I said, going back to what football first and foremost, that's what we're here to talk about. I should say I'm here to talk about the 10 players that ended up on the top 100 list for NFL players were Brady at five. And then I didn't look up the exact numbers for each one. I just looked at the list very quickly and I wrote them down for you guys. So Brady was number five. Mahomes was next. Aaron Donald was after Mahomes. Peyton Manning was after Aaron Donald. Randy Moss was, I want to say he was directly behind Peyton. Like, again, I didn't write down the numbers, but this is the order that they had them in, where I want to say Mahomes was in the teens, Donald was 20, Peyton and Randy were in the mid-20s. Calvin Johnson was in the 50s, I believe, along with J.J. Watt and Ray Lewis, who I believe was in the 60s. Aaron Rodgers came in later on, I want to say towards the 90s. Same with Darrell Revis. And then I do remember Ed Reed was 99 and Charles Woodson was number 100. So that list, like I said, it could be very, very convoluted depending on looking at the other athletes that are a part of that list. Like I said, you're throwing in baseball players, you're throwing in hockey players, you're throwing in, there's so many different sports. I mean, like Usain Bolt was another one I completely left off the list. I think he was like number nine, where he was literally the fastest man on the planet and broke every sprinting record in Olympic history. Like, how do you compare that to a Tom Brady? Like, you can't do it. So, while I don't disagree with the names that are on the list, I also do have some gripes with the names that are on the list, because you can't sit there and tell me that you can put a J.J. Watt or, you know, a Darrell Revis on that list when you don't put a Rob Gronkowski on that list, or you don't put a Travis Kelce on that list. And I'm on record, I fucking hate Travis Kelce. I can't stand him. He's the biggest pain in the ass as far as I'm concerned in the current NFL. I'll go on record. I'll say it. Travis Kelce is the biggest pain in the ass in the NFL right now, and I can't stand him. That being said, he's one of the best tight ends that ever played the game. And what he's done is unfathomable. Like, he, at some point, I'm not saying now, at some point, he may dethrone Tony Gonzalez as the best tight end that played for the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's saying something, because Tony Gonzalez was the pinnacle of tight ends for forever. I mean, that's right there, that Tony Gonzalez, he's another one that he's not on the list. And granted, the championships don't mean everything. They certainly help, right? They certainly help. But to put, like, just for example, like Aaron Donald was, yeah, arguably one of the best defensive tackles of all time. But does he deserve to be in front of Peyton Manning? Does he deserve to be in front of Randy Moss? Like, Randy Moss is considered one of the best receivers. I mean, we went on record on here on our one of our top five lists, where Randy Moss ended up being like one for a couple, for Burge at least. And then for me, he was, I want to say he was like two or three, I forget. But either way, like, that's where it gets interesting. But I'll keep going with guys that were omitted from the list. Like, the argument certainly could have been made for the football aspect. Like I said, I don't... I'm going to make some people mad. It is what it is. I'm just, my opinion is they got it right, but they also got it tremendously wrong. Because you don't have Gronk. You don't have Kelce. Looking at running backs, there were no running backs on that list. Not a single running back. And you had talents like LaDainian Tomlinson, didn't deserve to be on that list. He was arguably the best running back in the league for close to 10 years. Between 2000 to like late 2000s, LT was incredible, both running, catching, everything. And he played well up until he got to, you know, to the Jets. But then on top of that, too, Adrian Peterson. Are you kidding me? No Adrian Peterson on that list? The dude was a workhorse for Minnesota. And granted, yeah, he went to a bazillion teams after Minnesota. But his Minnesota resume alone is better than like 95% of running backs that ever played in the NFL. So that just blows me away that the LT wasn't a consideration, that Adrian Peterson wasn't a consideration. I mean, maybe they were. Maybe they were just outside of the top 100. But I would certainly take Adrian Peterson or LaDainian Tomlinson over Charles Woodson. I mean, don't get me wrong. Woodson was phenomenal. He was great. But I don't know. Like, those guys were staples of the NFL for so long, where Woodson had off years with, you know, the Raiders and then did well with Green Bay. But again, he had a few good, I don't know. Again, I'm going to piss people off, and I do apologize. But at the same time, I don't, because it's just, this list is such a hard topic to speak at length about, where you're not going to upset one person one way or the other. And then finally, I had to save these guys for the end because my linemen, we're between the tackles here. I gotta speak to my fatties that got no recognition. I mean, granted, on the defensive side of the ball, they got J.J. Watt on there, which I'll take the defensive tackle, right? Or defensive end, however you want to, you know, describe him. But for offensive linemen, I mean, how can you sit there and not have a list of top 100 athletes of the 2000s without Joe Thomas? That guy was essentially like the almost like the Cal Ripken of football with Cleveland there. I mean, he didn't miss a game his entire career. He started like something stupid, however many games he did. He was pretty much an all-pro anytime he got on the field. Like, Joe Thomas was possibly the greatest left tackle of all time. I'm not saying he was, potentially, but you got Joe Thomas. You got, right, currently, you got Trent Williams, who right now might be the greatest left tackle in the game. I mean, he's older at this point, where there might be, you know, discussions about some other guys, but Trent Williams, anybody would take him on their team right now, you know? And then on top of that too, Jonathan Ogden, who a lot of people would consider one of the best linemen of all time, playing for the Baltimore Ravens when they broke the records with Jamal Lewis there, rushing for over 2,000 yards, and Ogden's in the Hall of Fame by a mile, and he had a bunch of all pros. It's just like, you don't give any of these guys any recognition on your top 100 athletes list. I mean, are you crazy? Again, it's I say that, but maybe they don't deserve to be on it. I don't know, because like I said, they have good, great and good names already on the top 100 with who they have there. But at the same time, the argument can easily be made, like, how can you have, you know, Aaron Rodgers on the same list when Gronk did what he did? How can you have Revis on there when Kelsey's doing what he's doing, when Adrian Peterson, I don't know. It just, the ESPN, I know what they did. They obviously opened up the can of worms to start the discussion, to have people talk about it, just to have all the bitching, complaining, drive people to their website to be like, oh, who got number one? Where's my favorite athlete of all time? You know, it's such a hard conversation to have. But for me, I just look at it very quickly, where, like I said, I didn't have to do much research into looking up the guys that were omitted from the list, where I got like almost upset, because I was just like, how can you make this list without having these guys on there? I mean, linemen, granted, I am biased because I was a former lineman, former coach of linemen, but you still, like, just Joe Thomas alone. Joe Thomas was just so instrumental for Cleveland for so long. Just Cleveland alone, but just for the sport of football, he was just an Iron Man. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just ranting up the wrong tree at this point. And it's fine with me at this point. I don't know. We'll see what happens. And I'm certainly sure there will be more lists that will drive me batshit crazy at some point. And we'll dive down that rabbit hole whenever it presents itself to us. But I digress at this point. So, like I said, guys, we are currently getting there. I've said a few times, I think, on this podcast that we are in the dead zone of the summertime. Like I said, we got nothing but baseball going on right now, but we are so freaking close to football season. I can smell it. In fact, training camp starts 1 week, one freaking week, and I cannot wait to start seeing the news, the footage of the guys running around and, you know, praying and knocking on wood that no injuries happen. I know it's not possible, but just hoping for the absolute best with everybody staying healthy and hopefully the, you know, training camp goes well and the preseason gets off to a rocking start so we can see these guys put the pads on, smash into each other. And like I said, get that cool weather coming and get right back to football season where we deserve to be. But until then, like I said, we got some other stuff coming up. I'm very, very hopeful that we can get our buddy Nemesis Burge back hopefully next week or when have you. Like I said, schedules conflict, the things happen all the time, and we're going to do what we can. But also speaking of schedules and getting some people on here, my good buddy YZ, who I know listens to the podcast, stay tuned. I don't know if it'll be next week. I promise I'll do my best to bring it to you guys. We're going to try and get him in here for an interview, guest appearance for the AFC West breakdown. We're going to continue our breakdown path, obviously, and keep going that route. And YZ's a big old Raiders fan out there. Now the Vegas Raiders, used to be Oakland for a long time. Used to be LA way back in the day, too. Me and YZ were a couple of old farts, so I'll have to ask him if he has any fond memories of either LA or Oakland that he wants to talk to us about. But stay tuned for more of that stuff. But as always, guys, I just want to say thank you for hanging out and listening to this grumpy old Patriots fan rant and rave about ESPN for about a half an hour or so and talking a bunch of nonsense and getting us football guys ready to go, rocking and rolling. Cannot wait for more football. But as always, we are brought to you by Midnight Ride Productions. If any of you out there are interested in either starting a podcast, doing live streams, blog writing, or anything that is related with media stuff is the best way I'll put it. You can check us out at midnightrideproductions.net. Like I said, right now I got it, my football blog that I'm working on there. I got a couple of blogs out there so far. Got to get back to that because I missed this past weekend, but I promise I'll have a new one up there sooner than later. And yeah, join the rebellion. You can talk to myself, you can talk to Burgess, you can talk to our buddy Ace. All three of us are available over there on Midnight Ride Productions. So we look forward to hearing from you. I think at this point, that's going to put as Burgess would always say, that's going to plug this sucker up. So until next time, go Patriots. Later.